Back on Downtown, it's basketball time. Our weekly check-in with John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. And, is it safe to call it a rough debut for Evan Fournier last night?
Yeah, I would say so. 0 for 10, 0 for 5 from 3. It's one of those things where if you're good enough to get 10 shots in the NBA, then that says something. So if we're going to look at it from a positive perspective, him taking 10 shots, sometimes you miss, and that's okay. Other Celtics who have missed 10 shots and gone 0 for 10 or worse, Paul Pierce did it twice, Dino Raja, a couple of good names, I'd say. So a tough start, but I'm sure, as Brad Stevens put it afterwards, a blip for Evan Fournier.
So, John, would you say at this point the Celtics are a better team today than they were before the trade deadline?
Yes, as far as this season goes, I think when they're full, when they're whole, you can very easily say that they are a better team. I think once Tristan Thompson comes back and once Romeo Langford comes back, and we saw Romeo Langford working out a little bit before the game, so I think we're starting to see finally, with 25 games left, the some semblance of a decent team. Can they come together quick enough? Can Evan Fournier get himself together quick enough? Can they get some contributions from Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner on a consistent basis? Those are all questions that still need to be answered, but I think in general you can say that they've made themselves at least a little bit better.
As far as Romeo Langford, it looks like he's cleared all of his medical hurdles.
Yes. So the last thing that a player has to do is get cleared by a cardiac specialist. So, and you want to avoid the condition that has sidelined a few athletes, inflammation around the heart. So, Langford has cleared that. He's working out. He's starting to try to get his wind back. He hasn't played obviously at all season, and basically all month he hasn't been able to work out at all. So, it's a slow progression, and hopefully he feels good enough to kind of get back to things pretty quickly.
What's going on with Marcus Smart?
Oh, that's a great question. Marcus had a very bad game, I think, overall. And his mind just wasn't there. You don't see him make the types of mental mistakes that he made in that game very often. The heave off of the jump ball, and then afterwards arguing about the heave, which was very obviously wrong, that shows you that his mind's not where it should be. And it makes me wonder, he had talked about off the court issues for some players and how, it's hard sometimes you bring it back onto the court with you. And I thought he was talking about other players. He may have been talking about himself, and it seems like his mind was elsewhere. So, I hope that everything's fine. Hopefully it was just one of those days where your brain just doesn't work, and we've all had that. I've had that plenty of times. So hopefully that's what it is. But Marcus is too smart of a player to be making mistakes like that, and I think everybody recognizes that. So what the actual cause is, hopefully it's nothing serious.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Very interesting piece on Robert Williams in Boston Sports Journal and how his role is very different as a starter than it was when he was coming off the bench. And the question, and you kind of leave it up to everybody else to decide, is which role is the best use of his talents?
Yeah, because each use of his talent is meaningful. He does bring a lot to the table as a starter and as a bench player this season, and I want to stress that I'm talking about this season, because I think that he's good enough, and if he stays healthy enough, he can be the starting center next season. And I think with a full training camp and just a more defined role, it can be more obvious that he is the starter, and he will be able to do more. But in this role this year with this team, off the bench, he's a scorer, and he catches a lot of lobs. He dunks everything. He's shooting 70%+ from the field. And as a starter, he shoots 53% from the field. Now, of course, very small sample size. There's only been a few games, but it's very clear in those few games that he is much more of a facilitator. He's much more in a mindset of, I'm going to get Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker open, and I'm going to operate out of the high post and look for opportunities to pass to them. And that is meaningful. The ball moves better when he's on the floor. So the Celtics need that. They also need his scoring off of the bench and the vertical spacing and the pressure that he puts on a defense, because you can't rely on Tatum and Brown and Kemba to be your scorers. So the question is, can you get enough of what makes the ball movement work with somebody else? Is it Tristan Thompson? Is it Mo Wagner? Is it Luke Kornet? Can one of those guys do enough of what Robert Williams does to make what Robert Williams does off the bench more impactful? How do you maximize the minutes, the 25 minutes or so that you're getting from Robert Williams? And that's the question. And honestly, you're right. I don't know the actual answer, because we could go back and forth for a long time about, well, start, yes, bench, yes. And it's really going to be, I think, a question for Brad Stevens to just try to figure out how best to maximize him.
And when people look at his performance as a starter and think, well, yeah, he was better off the bench. Well, also, as you point out, off the bench, you're not always playing against the same level of player.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you're coming in against second units, that's meaningful too. Like, and to win those second unit battles is important. That's something that the Celtics haven't been able to do much. There's the starters, even with the lack of ball movement, the starters are able to create their own shots, and I think they're able to kind of figure things out. The Celtics bench has been up and down, and to add another threat off of the bench for this year's team, like, if I had to say I was leaning one way or the other, I might be leaning towards him coming off of the bench, specifically for that. But their second unit can't be outscoring Boston's, and putting that pressure on the rim not only gets him some baskets, but allows somebody like Peyton Pritchard to run a pick and roll and get into the lane behind him, or get some more open looks, or somebody like Grant Williams or Semi Ojeleye when he's healthy, getting some more open looks. So I think it's really interesting to see how the two different sides of Robert Williams have presented themselves already as a starter and as him coming off the bench.
John, what do you think we'll see tomorrow night when they take on the Mavericks?
Well, you know, I don't know with this team anymore, but I think we'll see Evan Fournier play better. I think we'll see the Celtics understand that this is the window's closing for them. And with 25 games left, there's still only a game out of fourth, but you can't be playing that only a game out of fourth thing for too long, because now you're leaving too much up to chance. They need to go and seize this opportunity. Six more games in a row at home, another almost 2 weeks at home. These are the games, these kind of back and forth. Like, Dallas is a team that it's going to be a tough game, just like New Orleans was. Either result is not unexpected, a win, a loss. You got to go win these kind of like 50-50 matchups. You got to go out there and take it. If you really do have any hope of catching fire as the season winds down and making a playoff run.
John's book is still available. If you haven't bought it yet, my goodness, what are you waiting for? The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars. But if you've waited because you wanted a personalized signed copy of the book, you can take care of that too, simply by going to John's website at johncorrales.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I do that.
I got two copies, and I should have waited so I could get mine signed.
I will find a way to sign yours, my friend.
I will send it to you just to get that John Corrales autograph on there. By the way, the new round is posted in our Downtown Madness competition, and you're up against Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe.
Ooh, tough one. I never get good draws in this. I get knocked out by some heavyweights early.
Well, they're all heavyweights, especially in that Boston bracket. It's pretty hard to avoid somebody who isn't a legend, including one John Corrales.
Well, I appreciate you saying so.
Thank you, John, as always, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Okay, talk to you later.